There's no place to escape to.
This is the last
podcast. On the left.
That's when the cannibalism started.
What was that?
You see, all these frog monsters got to do, if they want to be accepted by society, is you put a hat on them, put a suit on them, give them a little fishing pole, like dress them like an old-timey sad clown, and put them out like the old figurines. You ever? My grandmother had a sea of figurines of little frogs.
Little
fishing.
Frog figurines,
yeah,
huh?
And little trolls. They're fishing. Everyone's fishing. I guess it's because frogmen are casual.
Well,
because every time they see them, they're just hanging out.
That seems
they're
weird,
just
though.
Standing by the road.
Yeah. Let's see. Marcus, are we good to go? All right, that's Marcus Parks. I'm Ben Kissel. We're joined by a fellow who said the word cute 4 times recently, which is the most I've ever heard him say the word cute.
Hey, you guys got any water to wet my skin?
Why is your skin so dry?
Are you a frog man?
You're a frog man.
I'm just being a frog man. You know,
really?
You guys got any lily pads? I'm just asking around for a friend. But
well, just dip your toes in the water there, frog man. You can get wet.
I'd like to apply for a barista position.
You want to work here at Starbucks?
He just throws up just bile and swamp muck all over the Starbucks fucking counter.
It turns out it tastes great in the coffee. You're hired, frog man.
It's just a tough economy.
It is a tough economy.
To get a job.
It is a very tough economy. All right. So obviously that was Henry the Frogman Zabrowski.
I'm going to try to get through this whole episode without saying Holden instead of Frogman.
Oh, that's good.
You know, because it's so hard. It's a go-to joke, of course, you know,
right.
Because Holden McNeely, he's the lizard.
Lizard-ish.
He's fucking
sure.
Disgusting.
That's right.
You know, and it could have just been, most of these are just sightings of the McNeely family.
It's possible.
Harvesting for bugs next to dirt roads.
It's actually interesting, though, because most of the McNeely family, very handsome.
Very handsome.
Very attractive.
Oh God.
Handsome.
Avery is a dreamboat.
Well,
Avery,
just
of course,
gets,
Holden's older
brother. He has the
genes
from his grandparents who were first cousins.
Yeah, there was some trickle down gene there, some frog genes. But of course, we're discussing the Frogman because today's subject is regional monsters.
Yeah, going down the country, see what monsters you got. Oh, hey there, Wyoming. You got a giant horse? Good to see you.
That's just a big horse. Yeah. And it is interesting when you say country, and that seems to be the place where most of these sightings happen, very rarely in urban environments.
I think these people, it's because the satellite dish companies don't get out to the coal mining areas of West Virginia, so they have to make fun little shows for themselves.
Okay, so of course, today's first monster that we're going to discuss, the Loveland Frog.
It's just really like Loveland. Because Loveland, I mean, where is this? This is which area of, this is Ohio, right?
Yeah.
Loveland,
so,
Ohio.
Well, there's not a lot of love happening in Ohio, right?
Well, there's a bunch of love. Winter months, a lot of snuggling, a lot of hair fibers, tingling other hair fibers. No,
I love
Ohio
people from
lovers.
I love people from Ohio.
Yes.
You know, but it seems like you're going to get a lot of frog men from Ohio. Beautiful women. Frog men from Ohio.
Yes. Well, ladies, enjoy a nice frog man from Ohio, like you
mentioned
earlier.
Give him something, all right? Because if not, he's just going to be fucking a chicken.
That's right. And a frog having sex with a chicken, there's no place for that in my America, Marcus.
You know.
I don't like it. But Marcus, let's go down. Where did the Loveland Frog begin? How did this myth start?
Well, at approximately 3:30 a.m. in the year 1955.
At approximately 3:28 a.m. I remember the time exactly because that's when I was going to look for frogs, as I did every Wednesday.
A businessman.
Oh, wow.
I mean, this guy he's in from out of town.
Yeah.
So
kind
he's
of business?
Not expected to see these kind of frogmen everywhere.
What kind of business do you think he's a part of?
I don't know. The ass factory?
Yeah.
Making fake butts. Hey, we got the most primo fake butts that the Ohio Valley can stand.
Isn't that something? And two black guys, because going door to door in Ohio selling fake butts, that'll get you punched in the face. All right, so Marcus, give us some info on the Loveland Frog.
So the businessman who shall remain nameless to this day.
I love a good anonymous businessman.
He claimed
part of the Bilderberg Group.
This is a
G7 thing.
I think you're giving him quite a bit
of
credit.
I'm
he was
jumping
in the middle of the woods at 3:30 in the morning.
I haven't even heard the story yet.
He claimed to have witnessed 3 bipedal quasi-reptilian entities congregating by the side of the road.
Did he literally say those words to the officer?
Yeah. And was he immediately arrested and booked for meth abuse? Because he was high.
Oh, back in 55, he was on the bennies.
Yeah. Now, what's the Bennies?
Those would be amphetamine tablets.
Yeah, Benzedrine. It's what, like, all of Jack Kerouac's things were written on.
Yeah.
Isn't that something?
Yeah. It isn't.
Though. That's what I have to get on. But back in the day, people used to have so many more drugs just lying around. Cocaine next to the sugar jar when you had a bad toothache.
That was like a time when you'd have, like, a jar to be full. It's just like, hey, I got your yellow jackets, got your buzzes, got your weavers, you know?
Whippersnappers, things like that.
I got to make it from Cincinnati to St. Paul overnight. Give me some Bennies.
Yeah. Take me some of these health pills.
Yeah, you want some Weezers as well. That'll be good for you.
So the man pulled the car to the curb and witnessed these three creatures. He observed them what is estimated to be about 3 minutes.
Okay, and now how big are these creatures? They must be of a relatively
tall.
Large
3 to 4 feet tall, yes.
3 to 4 feet, okay.
Yes, he said they were covered with leathery skin, had webbed hands and feet, and frog-like.
You can also measure them in McNeely units.
Yes.
So each one is one McNeely unit long.
You get one every 10 minutes.
Yeah. Is he certain that these weren't just day laborers who were up really early? Do we know?
Well, he claimed them to. He said they were distinctly frog-like in their head region.
Okay,
and he claimed that they bore deep wrinkles where there should have been hair.
Ew.
Oh,
and just here's what's very interesting. Just as the man was about to speed away, because apparently 3 minutes is enough, one of the frogmen produced a wand.
Yep,
from who knows where.
Really,
and he started flinging it above his head.
He's shooting sparks everywhere.
Yes.
He had a Roman candle.
Isn't that something?
A giant frog got into some fireworks and somebody left in his shed, and they're just like, they thought they were just saying hello.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Or maybe it was three tiny elderly children. Like, what's that disease where you're a child that
Benjamin
you look
Button
old?
Pejoria.
Yes, perhaps three people with Pejoria just out there looking for help, flagging down the only guy.
Is it just a racial slur to call people with Pejoria frog heads?
Is that it? This man's a racist. Typical business,
That's
man.
That's another thing, is that all of these regional monsters have names that could definitely just be applied to any race you want.
You goddamn frog head.
And it is said that the scent of alfalfa and almonds were left behind.
They smell like almonds.
Yeah.
Ooh, why would he leave?
Yeah, it sounds nice. It smells like a Bath and Body Works over
That's
there.
That's beautiful. Yeah, the frog scent.
And then as the frogman was waving the wand, a small scent of mucus came out of the frogman's mouth.
A scented mucus.
A small hint, excuse me.
Oh,
a small,
I see.
A hint of mucus came flowing from his mouth.
You only want a hint. You only want a dash of mucus with your regional monster.
You need.
I just think he saw big-ass frogs, right?
He probably saw some
3 to 4 feet tall with a wand.
With a wand. That's where it turns into a Hummel figurine.
Right.
That's where it just basically turns to one of those, what is the elegant memories? What are the name of those dolls with no
like
faces?
Precious
memories.
Precious memories. And I'll tell you, those children were praying a lot.
I'll say, if you want to get me figurines. Back into spending some money and some precious memories, make them all frogmen, I'll do it.
That reminds me of my parents when I was growing up. They had a brilliant idea to get rich. All they did was collect Hummels, thinking that they were going to skyrocket in prices. This is pre-Beanie Baby phase.
Oh, yeah.
And turns out nobody wants a Hummel anymore, so
nobody
they have a bunch of trash.
Nobody wants weird childhood memories frozen in porcelain anymore.
No, it's very terrifying. But they thought there was going to be a huge market for these.
But I also
wastes of space.
But I love it. So before we'll jump into more details, Loveland Frogmen. But I love these regional monsters because you also get something about each society, like what animals they find to be scary. Because it's like Marcus is terrified of frogs.
I hate frogs. I almost didn't want, like, when I was doing the initial research for this, I saw Loveland Frogman and some of the lists. I was like, nope, moving on.
Also, especially like if I look at when I was looking at drawings of the Loveland Frogman, me and the Frogman have like the same body. It's just like tiny, round, no butt, you know, and then like what my dad looks like. My dad looks like a little turtle because he's just getting uglier and uglier every year.
Right.
And I'm going to look the same. I'm going to turn into a Loveland Frogman pretty soon.
Well, as soon as you start hanging out on the highways of Ohio, we'll know the transformation is complete.
Hey, you guys see my wand? Hey, I got a wand.
Keep on driving, honey.
Away. You know, that one day I'm going to see one of these businessmen, and I'm going to sell them a whole TV show story on us, little Cynthia Frogman, my daughter. All right, let's go back to the bogs.
Cynthia Frogman, my daughter. And what a wonderful, beautiful daughter she is.
She's just going, yeah.
Well, you should have seen her mother.
I just wish you could be attractive just to get us out. out of this goddamn swamp.
Now you want to sell your frog daughter for sex? You want to get her into the human sex frog man trade?
Hey, Cynthia, go over to the man. Go over to the Ace. This is my daughter, Cynthia, and I got to say, she's got that frog. She's got that never-quitting frog vagina.
That frog
pussy.
You got to
do it on those long business trips.
I mean, I'll tell you, that sounds like the 1950s version of a fleshlight.
Just
a nice, soft Cynthia the Frog.
Just a hint of mucus.
Yeah. Oh, you want more mucus? Cynthia, spit it up. Spit it up real good. You got it inside. I think she's choking. I think she's choking now.
Oh, no, that's just the sound she makes when she loves you.
Oh, well, she must love me a lot.
20 years go by.
Uh-oh.
No frogman sightings.
I can't believe.
Unbelievable.
Until almost 20 years. Until 1972, early March, police.
Jimmy's burning the American flag.
Women got flowers in their hair.
Is that a chick with no brassiere on and her flappers are just in the wind?
I can't stand it. I want to grab her.
Unbelievable.
Two police officers, or at least actually one police officer sees this. The second police officer comes later. One police officer says, reported that he saw a 4 foot tall frog faced human like creature with leathery skin. This is what the report said. The creature was 3 to 4 feet tall, 50 to 75 pounds, leathery skin, possibly wet, matted hair on its body that made it look textured, possibly a tail, a head and face like a frog or lizard, and could leap over the road's guardrail.
And she sounds like every Italian grandmother I've ever met.
Possibly wet.
Maybe wet. I would say, given
we don't have the tactile evidence, but I tried to touch it and it bit me, and now I'm slowly turning into a frogman myself.
She tried to sell me a bunch of her famous rigatoni. It seems like we have some very high-class individuals discovering the frogman. Usually, it's more local yokels who are toothless and ready to shoot their shotguns at anything that doesn't look exactly like them.
And not say these police officers aren't yokel locals yet.
I mean, they are men of the law. They are men of the badge.
But no, it's true. Two police officers saw it. We have this one police officer saw it. It jumped over the rail, right? Mm-hmm. And then another one shot at it, right?
Yeah, another one shot at it after an anonymous farmer reported sighting four bizarre creatures while inspecting his fields.
Now, I don't mean you'd scare your police officers, but I prefer to have my name be left out of this lest I get revenge from all the frogmen in the forest. But I believe I saw one and you should go shoot it in this big frog-shaped head. Well, I gotta go. Corn's rotten.
Well, you should have gone a little while ago then.
And a new detail was added to the frogmen by this farmer, for their mouths were wide and filled with sharp teeth.
I just really think this is people seeing a different race for the first time. I really do. I'm having a tough time here with the frogmen.
Ever since that golden dragon opened up in the corner of Clarence and Witherspoon,
we've been seeing
frogmen all over the place.
However, it must be noted that the original policeman recanted his story later on. He recanted his story. He said, "It was and is no monster. It was not leathery or had wet matted fur. It was not 3 to 5 feet tall. Oh. It did not stand erect. The animal I saw was obviously some type of lizard that someone had as a pet that either got too large for its aquarium, escaped by accident, or they simply got tired of it. It was less than 3 feet in length, ran across the road, and was probably blinded by my headlights. It presented no aggressive action."
Well, so, because he shot at it. So he saw a lizard in the street and he shot at it.
Yeah, well, that's what you do.
Everyone made fun of him. I mean, he came back and he's like, "It was 5 feet tall and I had to shoot at it." You know? Like,
yeah. Ohio PD. I mean, you know, top of the game. It seems like, I had a thought, but then I lost it.
But what is the more reasonable story, that someone just had a Komodo dragon in the middle of the farmlands, Ohio, and just let it go?
He was forced to recant the story. The frogmen got a hold of him in the middle of the woods. They started tickling his feet and said, "Do you want to keep your goddamn job? Well, then you better change your tune, buddy.
I can't stand the tickling."
That's right. Tell him it was a normal lizard, would you?
I'll tell him anything you want.
Exactly.
Being tickled to death is its own special hell.
Especially by a bunch of frog people.
Yeah, he's just sucking on your toes, going this is my daughter.
I don't know why you're still trying to pawn off that disgusting Cynthia Toad woman. Frog daughter, I'm sorry.
It's just something the way she swings them hips. Oh, melodic and hypnotic. It's like a bobblehead of a hula woman.
A bobblehead. Yeah.
You know, now that I think about it, being tickled to death by frog people is my worst fear.
That's your biggest fear.
Right behind prison.
Yeah.
Yes.
See, prison's like the more real fear.
Yeah. You're the frog in prison, and they just fuck you, and they do a bunch of wild
things.
Yeah,
when everyone starts calling you Cynthia Frogman, and starts passing you back and forth between cell block C and D.
Well, now, you know what you could use less of? Them teeth. Why don't we just fuck them out of your brain real quick now?
You know what you could use more of? Mucus.
Let's get you crying. That's very prison lube.
Why are you being stingy with the mucus?
That's not good.
So let's move on to a much more famous monster.
But real quick, anybody dead from the frogmen?
Nobody
any
dead.
Any violence from the frogmen?
No. They just saw frogmen.
Just
a fun thing. It's, a lot of these stories are, the most of the stories are like, I looked up on the hill. And I saw him and it ran away. That's like every one of these stories. So I would, there's not a lot of, they didn't get an interview with the frog.
Okay. Well, maybe we should go there. Any of our friends in Ohio that maybe live in Loveland, Ohio.
Please.
Go try to interview the frogman in the woods. I'm not sure exactly where they're located, but if you see a road flare or something like that, stop. And if it turns out it's just somebody who has a flat tire in desperate need, keep on going. They're not a frog person.
No. But if you've also if you ever happen to have dated a frogman, please get in contact with us because we'd love to have an interview with him.
Yes, indeed. And I'm sure our emails will be lighting up with that because I'm sure there's a lot of ladies in Ohio who have claimed to have been
I think I may have dated a frog man, but in the end, I think he was just, his name was Brandon and he was a Buckeyes fan.
Yes.
So this next guy is someone that a lot of people out there probably would have heard about, especially if you're really into aliens.
Yep.
The Flatwoods Monster.
Well, this is my favorite kind of regional monster because you hear a lot with Mothman as well. A lot of these stories are often paired with UFO sightings. I love it because to me it supports the idea that there is a grand paranormal theory that like aliens and these monsters and elves and fairies and shit are all the same thing. Don't look at me like I'm crazy.
I'm not even looking at you. I'm trying to...
I looked away.
Yeah, you gotta look away.
I have a series of beliefs.
The one fun thing about this with the Flatwood Monster, he has a little scooter with him. He's got his own little mobile.
He's got like a Dr. Robotnik, Professor
type.
X thing.
Yeah. Which is very fascinating.
Well, the first sighting of the Flatwoods Monster was in 1952 when a group of kids saw a flying saucer crash into the land out of the sky. Mm. They went to go check it out. Of course, they saw a large pulsating ball of fire.
Uh-oh.
Which is really cool because this was also witnessed by a bunch of people. This was seen by like a couple dozen people.
Some
they
adults
made a big
in there.
Deal. They called the police station because they were like, they thought there was a downed aircraft. And so a bunch of people went out to go see what they saw.
Mm-hmm. And the great show on the History Channel introduces us to an investigator who has been working on the case for 20 years.
20 years.
He hasn't had a wife in 20 years. And
but he's got a lot of files on the Flatwoods Monster.
He does have a lot of files and a lot of sand. I think he just got a lot of dirt in those canisters. Yeah. He's collecting all the dirt from the scene.
Well, of course, these kids, though, they were the first on the scene. It was a group of three kids. They detected a pungent mist in the air that
burned
their eyes
with these monsters.
A lot of smells. In fact, we see that a lot with Bigfeet as well.
Yeah,
a lot
he smells like shit.
Yeah, skunk, Bigfeet. That would be the plural. Bigfoot.
Okay.
There are many big feet.
Yeah, because what do you say, Bigfoots?
Yeah. I think I mean, I don't know.
I've never been to Oregon, but I swear to God, I'm scared of the idea that there's like 9 to 12 Bigfoots up in there.
I think Bigfoots is the proper term. Yeah, not big feet.
Well, if any of you have an opinion on whether it's Bigfoot or big feet,
I guess take the time to email.
Well, go to the last podcast. I mean, go to the last podcast Facebook page and let us know there.
Bigfeet sounds like a whole nother creature.
No, he's not like he's only got one big foot. He's got two big feet.
Okay, so if you want to make an argument that the whole thing is wrong, it should just be big feet because he's got two big feet.
And I will add that into my super theory.
Uh-huh. All right. It's an ongoing debate then. I'm going with big foot.
When I release my journals, everyone will see the truth.
No, you're gonna be framed for a crime you didn't commit just because they're so psychotic.
So they go out there with their flashlight. They're looking at the object that is a large glowing ball on the ground. And they see off to the left two glowing lights in the trees. Hmm. They shine their flashlight over, revealing a creature, which is said to be at least 10 feet tall.
Ooh.
A red face, bulging non-human eyes and shaped like either a heart or the Ace of Spades.
Yeah, people saying it's Ace of Spades, and it looks specifically very artificial. Now, we're like, which is really interesting because you're going to hear there are several other sightings of this monster, which we'll hear right now. And apparently this is some sort of costume he was wearing or some sort of protective suit.
Which would make sense, yeah.
Why don't you take some of the other sightings?
Well, the other sightings were basically there was a couple driving. It was a 31-year-old woman and her daughter were driving down the highway near the area where it was originally seen about a week later, and they saw another gigantic 9-foot-tall humanoid. They were driving, very similar to a UFO story. Blinding light hit the car. They stopped the car. In front of them, through this light and smoke, which began to surround the car, which again they said smelled like mustardy, smelled super sulfury. This creature and a gigantic look like what we hear in describing the original sighting of the monster. It's like a gigantic metallic skirt.
Yes.
Like, and this thing. Yes, and it said the same thing. This creature came forward. It looked lizard in nature, 9 feet tall. Two, its hands, the same thing that it described in the first monster, its hands were just like two long digits.
Yeah, two big old fingers there.
Short, stubby arms ending in long claw-like fingers which protruded from the front of the body.
Yeah, sounds like just somebody after an 18-hour rave.
You know? Just body painted for some woods rave. Yeah, but it was floating on this device, and it came up to their car, touched their car, and apparently created a V burn on the hood of their car and then disappeared.
And the car stopped, right? They had some car troubles?
Yeah.
That was the...
Yeah, and, it's a very common UFO scenario.
What is the name of the town again?
This is Braxton County, West Virginia.
So I'm just going to go out on a limb. A 31-year-old mother... driving with her 21-year-old daughter.
Yeah.
21-year-old daughter. Isn't that interesting? Both of age.
Is another comment school. Well, because you can easily connect this to the Mothman sightings, because Mothman, same exact thing, coal town, giant glowing redding eyes, huge 9-foot tall creature, and there's...
But he could fly. He didn't need this vehicle to get around.
But there's a connection to the two that I think a lot comes from, like, the poisonous gases coming out of the mountains just randomly.
Well, that's my favorite thing about it. This guy would just get everybody super messed up on this on these inhalants.
Mustard gas. Smelled like.
Yeah, because the people who originally saw the Flatwoods monster got incredibly sick.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
They say that even later on in that Monster Quest episode on about the Flatwoods monster, they basically said, like, everybody who was involved in the original sightings had been dying of cancer.
But the thing is, it's a very old sighting, and I have a feeling these people all chain
smoked.
They
were going to get cancer,
and there was a lot
anyway.
Of whiskey, and they all died. It seems to be natural causes.
But it's all coal mines. I mean, is a very rational explanation for the Flatwoods monster.
They all died of lung and throat cancer.
Yeah, asteroid owl.
They keep saying this owl
fumes.
Though. That's the thing that I don't understand.
What do you mean? Explain this owl thing.
They said that the way they have explained off the Flatwoods monster is that it's this chain of events.
It's an owl.
Is that they saw an asteroid. There was a fire in the forest, and then they saw a big old owl, and it shined their lights on it in the night. And they have a thing called expectant. Perception, I believe, is the term where, like, they use in cryptozoology, which is this idea that, like, if you are told that you're going to see shit, and if, like, well, it's because the Mothman was also happening, or not, like, nearish to the same time, and these stories have happened all over the country for forever, and so it's like you're expecting to see something, so maybe you'll take the vision of an owl that you shined a flashlight on and make it into a giant
expectant
monster.
Expectant reality.
Not only that, but in 1952, this was when aliens and UFOs were all over movies, they were all over comic books, television. These kids, they see something flying out of the sky. Remember, they're children.
Yeah.
And then they will see what they want to see.
They were in their teens.
Yeah, they were in their teens, but still. These are the types of kids that are going to be seeing that type of stuff. And the short type of protruding limbs with claws, it's owl claws.
Yeah, but how big an owl
know.
Is it?
Yeah, I mean, that's
owls
the
can
thing.
Get pretty big.
They can't get 9 feet.
I mean, they can't. Well, if they're up top and you see, if they're on top of, say, a bush or something like that, because it was also described as being green in nature, the actual pleated skirt. It could be.
So an owl sitting on top of a bush.
How am I the one that is being portrayed as crazy right now?
I'm just saying it just sounds crazy that just some owl's going to be around in the forest.
I've seen a lot of owls. I've never thought it was the Flatwood monster.
Not even once.
Not at all. But you never know.
But there is, these stories have been told for years and years and years. And so, and it's, so we could probably hop from that to the Mothman.
Of course, the Mothman.
Which is just that we've, when did Mothman start?
1966.
Yeah, 1966. So, and this is again, West Virginia. I mapped it. It's about an hour from Flatwoods.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's the same area, again, a town sitting on, and that's specifically Point Pleasant, right? Point Pleasant was sitting on a coal waste dump. Like underneath the ground, they dumped all this the waste products from the coal mine into the water supply.
Yeah,
so
they've
been getting poisoned for a while.
So they were just seeing things.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But I feel like if you get poisoned for 20 years, you get used to it.
Oh, absolutely.
So why you build up a tolerance. Shit now,
sure.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, until the cancer comes.
Well, and the cancer's going to come for us all anyway.
Most likely, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Massive heart attack as well. That's a very good possibility. We don't know, though, going back to Flatwoods real quick, we don't know where the smoke came from. And everyone does seem to think that that was a real phenomenon.
It just sounds like the smoke is a part of what made you see the thing, is that it's probably some fart from a mountain of poisonous coal gas.
It was a mountain
fart.
It
came out, and it made everybody just go like, ooh.
Yeah, the impact of the asteroid upon the ground could have expelled some sort of gas, because there are asteroids falling on record on that day at that time in that area.
Oh, so that's it.
Yeah.
Unless it came from the asteroid.
That's a very, very good possibility.
It's an asteroid and a big owl.
Oh,
that's all
okay.
It is.
All right. All right. A lot of smoke, though.
I'm going to take a look at the evidence again and decide for myself if it's not the black with the fucking monster's real or not.
Oh, you mean the children's drawings?
Yeah.
Well, they're very well
done.
They're
very creepy.
Yeah, they're creepy as shit.
I like the way you describe, how that's just the earth farting, or like a geyser. Oh, yes, you're taking a big piss. And then like a volcano is like, oh, it just got shits.
I'm not a scientist.
Right. That's the earth taking a big shit. And then you're like, you're a bad father.
That's a volcano. He must have had some spicy food.
Oh, yeah, it looks like a spicy shit to me. Oh.
So instead of us really getting into the Mothman.
Because we covered the Mothman before. Yes. Everybody knows it. And so real brief, a bunch of Mothman sightings happened, and then a bridge collapsed outside of this Point Pleasant, West Virginia, and they believed it became this harbinger of bad news.
Well, in reality, the bridge collapsed because of bad government.
I mean, it's West Virginia.
The infrastructure in this country is not doing well.
No.
Not nailing it. No.
But let us go to the land of the bard.
Yes.
I want to hear. Well, I love doing this when we're researching topics that we've already covered. It's like, let's see what the Mothman has inspired.
Yeah.
So let's hear some music that is Mothman based. That, I mean,
it's surprisingly good music.
Every artist has one story to tell.
Right.
That's what I always heard from ancient times.
Eric Clapton has a dead son. Let's tell the story.
Let's tell the story over and over and over and over.
Make all the money in the
again.
World. Yeah.
But this is a couple of tales, a couple of discretionary songs invented from the folklore of the Mothman.
I mean, the reality of the Mothman, though.
West Virginia, Point Pleasant.
Oh, man.
1966.
Woo!
Yeah!
The arrival of the Mothman.
Oh, man, I want to finger pop Jenny so bad! I love this. Oh, man, you ever read the lyrics to this song? This is my favorite three-page lyric.
Oh, man, you want to huff some fucking shit from this cheese whiz can?
Yeah. This is great. If you close your eyes, you can almost see the Mothman.
Woo-wee. Is this Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young?
And Mothman.
Well, this... is wonderful. Great. As much as we love this,
yeah.
This is absolutely wonderful. This is dwindling human conscious.
Yeah, human conscious.
And this is Mothman song version 2.
Wow.
The version 1 was acoustic, and it was very pretty. He had his girlfriend on tambourine, and she called it the tambourine, but it was just a dried beans in a jar that she'd shake.
Yeah, that's fine. That's normal.
And, you know, this is a metal style, which, you know, you expect that from a Mothman, an urban legend type thing. You expect metal.
Yeah, definitely.
All of us like metal.
Mothman loves metal, too.
Mothman loves metal.
You better wary bringing him out, because Mothman will bring bad luck and make sure that your guitarist doesn't really know how to play guitar, because these guys are experts.
Oh, this is amazing.
This is one guy. This is one guy in his bedroom. Absolutely.
Oh, he's like Kid Rock. He does it all, huh? He plays all the instruments.
I've recorded songs like this in my bedroom before, and it's this is pretty much what it sounds like.
It's
this is a song about Becky.
It's called Mothman version 2.
No, it was about scissors. My song.
What was it about?
Scissors.
Scissors.
Okay.
All right, this song's starting to hurt my brain.
Yeah. So let's move on to another style.
Very good
of
song,
music.
Though.
This is just called the Mothman song.
This is kind of sexy, though.
Yeah, it's a woman is involved.
Ooh,
all right,
okay.
Let's check this out.
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah. This looks sounds like CNC Music Factory. Right as we speak, I looked outside my window just to take a peek. I saw something in the sky way up high. I saw something fall. I saw something tall. I saw
Is it me?
I kind of like
it.
Oh, not me. I saw something look
back. I saw something. Yeah, way to go, Melissa Starfall.
Melissa like Starfall.
This is pretty sweet.
This is good. It's got sort of a Peaches vibe as well.
Yeah.
I think it's the exact beat from...
This is pretty sweet. I want to put this up on the Facebook page. Yeah, I think this will make people start making out.
Yeah, definitely. You know
what I think? I put it on my iPod. Can I just say that I actually did put it through a converter to an MP3 and I put it on my iPod?
That's normal, yeah. You gon' break it high. You know when you're
high, you start saying things. Okay,
yeah,
now
yeah,
she's just saying,
yeah. And then she starts talking about getting high, which is great. We all love getting high.
That's right. And there were some truth to those lyrics. When you get high, you do start seeing things.
She's
not lying.
Absolutely. Just so happens to be through the entire West Virginia area, you can get high just by walking through the forest.
It seems
there's
that
so much
way.
Toxic gas
sucking
just
on the ground,
flying
yeah.
through there.
Don't eat the grass. Don't do that whatsoever.
Well, let's move over to Michigan.
Okay.
For one of my favorites. The Melonheads.
Yeah, I love this. Again, another possible slur that yes. you can contribute to any race that you want. A lot of this, I think, is, again, they just saw somebody with a different shaped head.
Yep, a lot
and
of that.
Freaked out.
I'm just trying to think what race would go well with the Melonhead.
I'm not going
to
say.
I mean, it's up for you to decide.
The You're Irish. The eye of the you know, maybe it's
I know,
the
it's
Irish.
It's always the Irish. They have the huge heads. I didn't want to say. I was thinking the Irish, but I feel like we harp on
no,
the
Scottish
Irish.
Scottish people have big heads. Scottish. I'm Scottish. Yeah. I have a big
head. Okay, well, then you can say it.
Yeah.
I was actually turned on to this by a listener.
Yes.
Yeah, PJ Griffin sent a wonderful email to cavecomedyradio@gmail.com.
And we love this story so much.
The story's great.
Melon
so
heads.
Here's what we know about the Melonheads. According to one story from Michigan, they were originally children with hydrocephalus who lived at the Junction Insane Asylum near Felt Mansion.
This is my question. What is hydrocephalus?
Hydrocephalus is it's a condition in which there's too much water in your head, and your head is gigantic.
This is literally where the term waterhead baby comes from.
Yeah,
and what they would do is
this is what waterhead baby.
You've never heard of waterhead?
Yeah.
No,
it's a term for. I mean, they use it for all mentally disabled people. But this is if you ever see Cropsey,
they were called potato heads.
Well, you could call them anything you want to.
Once
really.
Again, it's a regional thing.
Yes, it's all
like
regional.
Some people
things.
Have Wawas, some people have Albertsons,
Quick Trips.
Yeah.
There was, I'll tell you, growing up, there was a great gas station called Kickapoo. Kickapoo gas station. We would laugh and laugh and laugh, and it was great times. The documentary Cropsey, they show the original footage of Geraldo Rivera. This is the story that broke him when he went into the insane asylum. If you want to see waterhead is just so much easier to remember than the technical
hydrocephalus.
Term. Hydrocephalus. If you want to see what these kids look like, they're all in the background sitting in their own fecal matter and sitting in their own urine, and they just shake back and forth, and it's real tough for them
to fall
over.
It sounds like they did a lot more than shake back and forth in this story.
Yes
they did. They eventually, after much physical and emotional abuse, they became feral mutants.
Yes.
And
good
were loosed into the forest where they eventually settled in underground caves.
So they just let these feral big heads out into the forest?
Pretty much.
They were like, you know
it's
what?
It's like
they,
when you put the code in on NBA Jam and then like all the players just have the massive
were
melon.
Were they just like taking extras at the food line? Why send them out to the forest?
I think they're very difficult to deal with. They always sound like they're splashing around. You're like getting seasick just being around them.
Yeah,
it's very bizarre.
Take Dramamine just to do a therapy session with Bingo over here.
I always got a piss when Bingo's around. It just sounds like water's running all the time. But this is interesting because is the first example.
Someone take all those human snow globes and put them out in the forest.
Don't shake them up too much. It makes their brains. all wild and goofy.
So they're hanging out in the forest.
But this is interesting, though, because this is the first monster that is actually does stem from a real human.
It's just a disability.
It's a disability. Like, yeah. But there does seem to be a supernatural transformation that goes along
with it. It's like someone who's unreasonably afraid of Michael J. Fox, of just being like, oh, yes. I can't go anywhere near that jumping bean, man.
Yes, of course, with the, I believe he has palsy or
Parkinson's.
It would be
Parkinson's.
That ain't no Parkinson's, that's the devil's fever.
Yes, what makes you shake a little bit and you get a sitcom. So that's actually not bad. I'd sell my soul for that.
There are other versions of the story that say that the hydrocephalic babies, the melon heads, devised a plot to kill the evil doctor that was causing them all this pain, and they didn't know where to put the body, so they just cut him up and had pieces of him all
around.
Which
I understand, because Bingo and Bongo were sitting around there going, like, I don't understand what the doctor did to him, put a faucet in my fucking forehead.
Put a faucet in it. Yeah. Oh my God. Well, if it wasn't for those goddamn melon heads, this whole place would have burnt down. But we managed to put a faucet through their head, and they hosed down the entire insane asylum, so we're saved. Thank you, melonheads.
Over in Ohio.
This is an actual slur, by the way.
Yes.
That's what it is. Yeah.
It really is.
Okay.
Over in Ohio, there's another version of the story that says that the melonheads were created by an evil scientist named Dr. Crow, also called Dr. Trubano or Dr. Melonhead.
Dr. Melonhead. And that's where the name came from, of course, absolutely. And these are my melonheads.
So it's sort of like a Frankenstein situation, yeah.
But the other thing, so
who's going to Dr. Melonhead? What disease do you have to go to Dr. Melonhead for?
You got
anything?
A big head.
Yeah. You got a big head, or do you go in with a normal size head and he pumps you full of liquid and then you got a big head when you come out?
Well, I just hate to
it
see.
It said that that's what Dr. Melonhead did, is that he took some children who were normal and he made them hydrocephalic. And the melon heads, the actual kids who already were hydrocephalic, pumped even more liquid into their heads and made their heads even bigger.
This is just the era before the Culligan man. This is before they would deliver water coolers to a living room and you just had a human water cooler.
I will also see, I can see also now between Dr. Melonhead and these melon heads just running around inside of the insane asylum, their hat bill must have been out of control.
Insane. It's not one size fits all, is it?
You had to release him to the forest.
Yeah, no fitted caps there. Can you imagine if these human melon heads were just used as the water fountain, and all the water fountain conversation just would have to be about them.
Just one prohibition themed party just bankrupts the entire hospital.
It's not good.
All the fedoras you have to buy.
Oh my goodness. Oh yeah, they can't dress like a 1920s flapper or a 1920s businessman.
It's a rail thin society in the 1920s. We can't get the dresses over their big melon heads.
This is just insane.
So what are the modern sightings of melon heads?
The modern sightings? Well, I mean, it's kind of an urban
legend. The G-Train has a lot of melon heads.
No. The real melon heads.
Oh, yeah. I see. The scary
It's a teenager
one.
Type thing. They go to the one that I mentioned earlier.
I love this story.
Felt Mansion. Which story would that be that you have in mind?
So a group, one story is apparently you see them often on the sides of dirt roads. Again, like frogmen, they just hang out.
Yeah.
And like they, so the story is a group of teenagers went to go like necking out in the woods. And like these boys were like out looking for like scary shit to like scare their girlfriends.
Right.
So they're driving into the forest. They went down this dirt road. They pulled off. They all got out to like, I guess I never did the thing where I made out with my girlfriend with a bunch of other dudes. Like I never did a group fuck with all my high school friends.
I mean, you could just stop that sentence. It's disgusting. But you could argue you just never made out with your girlfriend, you know, but everyone else.
I made out with my girlfriend in high school so hard. Her face was flat.
Really?
Yeah,
the flat face monster of wherever you're from.
Astoria,
right?
They were making out, and apparently they're all hanging, and they heard their car engine revving.
Uh-oh.
And they looked and saw four melon heads in the car driving around the forest, chanting and hollering at them. Like that is
so.
Like, totally,
all right, do these melon? Do they have a Confederate flag hat on as well with a T-shirt that has Ted Nugent?
Like they saw.
So the melon heads stole their car.
Yes, and so they looked at. They literally just saw melons going like, "Hey, fuck you, hey, fuck you."
So the Flatwood monster is, knocking people out with a gas.
The strange Connecticut Valley Mexican.
Yes. stealing the car, driving it all around. These melon heads, they seem like we actually have real evidence here. They're real.
And they saw, there was a couple other sightings of it, just big head kids.
Yeah, well, what they say big about Connecticut, because that sighting was in Connecticut, right?
Yes.
So what they say where the melon heads come from in Connecticut is that, of course, they were turned out once again. They did not develop hydrocephalus just as they were going out into the world, but because they resorted to cannibalism and because of inbreeding, they eventually developed hydrocephalus.
I see. I see.
Is that it's a sort of like cause of hydrocephalus?
Nah, I don't know what hydrocephalus. I mean, there's all sorts of things.
I think they're just making
causes.
Up a bunch of myths so they don't have to treat them like people. That's probably what's happening here. But that's okay. As a matter of fact, we got a couple of amazing emails this week, and another one was from a gal who works at the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, and email us back and let us know what's going on here with these melon heads.
Yeah, are you guys making the melon heads?
Are you making them?
Is Dr. Melonhead working for the CDC?
Oh, yes, he is, Doctor.
We're getting into this.
I know. You know, this podcast.
What if Dr. Melonhead's another thing for Mengele?
It's
like
very
Dr.
possible.
Green.
It's very, very possible.
Well, these are post-World War II stories.
That's true. And he was in America doing something. Well, he was in Argentina, but his double was in America doing all the MK Ultra stuff. So he could have been making melon heads.
Yeah, and if you say it like that, it so sounds true.
Yeah.
You know, it so sounds true. I love it.
So I mentioned cannibalism.
Yes.
No, this is a great story.
This is my favorite.
I love this. And Marcus will lead this up. I also love this idea because in these rural areas, cannibalism happened a lot. Like, especially in the Adirondacks and places where you had like very condensed, very condensed communities that were not necessarily connected to cosmopolitan areas. If there was like an epidemic or something happened, these people, like massive groups of people would die. And you just have people living on the remains because they can't get to the food.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, that's
they're snowed in. If they're like,
must
if
be
there
weird
was a rock
to just
fall.
Look. At, yeah, must be weird to just like look at a group of dead people or like alive people that are about to die and just be like future buffet, like future buffet food right there.
Ooh yeah, that's gonna be my daily value meal on fucking Wednesday. I'm having some Mrs. Henderson.
What's the best part of the human body to eat? Do we know?
The butt
is the best part.
Absolutely, the butt.
Even on a Zabrowski?
Look
at this fine meat I got right
here. That's your thigh. That's your thigh.
This strip right here from right under my balls to my knee, that's a filet mignon. Uh-huh. You got right over here, I got thick rib meat.
You don't have to lift up your shirt.
Look at
Henry
it.
I don't want to look at it, Henry.
I've seen it.
Yeah. We've all seen it. You're always lifting up your shirt.
So don't tell me I'm not good to eat. I'm a person that I'm a prime suspect.
I said your butt wasn't good to eat. Your entire body is amazing. I would love to see it, General Sow Zabrowski.
Yeah.
I'm sure it would be great with
I'd
the
be afraid
series.
To eat you.
Well, absolutely.
Because you're all long and your meat's going to be all fucking stiff.
And marbled because of my ups and downs with weight.
Ooh,
which,
actually,
is that good or bad to have marbled meat?
It depends on your preference.
No, that's Kobe beef.
I'm a Kobe Kissel beef.
Finally, the fat is littered through because it's been massaged for so long.
Oh, and I've been massaged.
See, I'm just stringy. I'd be like eating a rabbit.
Yeah,
that's not good.
Yeah, you got to kill someone like Jackie. My sister.
Jackie Zabrowski.
Mack her up, eat her. That'd
be
great.
Yeah, she'd be good. She'd be good.
So let's go to the best cannibalistic regional monster of all, the Wendigo.
Yeah.
Also known as Wendigo, Wendago, Wendigo, Wendiga, Witico, Witaco, and Manaha.
Well, isn't that something?
Are these all car brands?
The 2007 Manaha.
Manaha. That's great. Four-door. Not bad.
So the Wendigo is a demonic half-beast creature. It appears in the legends of the Algonquin people on the Atlantic coast and the Great Lakes region of Canada and America.
I take issue with the term half-beast. If it's something's a half-beast, that's a full beast.
Yeah.
Well, like, people like sent to it like half-beast. I'm looking at the whole thing's a beast.
If you're any part beast.
You're all beast.
Yeah, you're beast.
It's like they say, if you mix 5 pounds of ice cream with 5 pounds of shit, you get 10 pounds of shit.
Yeah.
That's right.
That is a great saying.
I never heard that. ever. But
you never heard that?
It's
applicable to many things in life.
I've just never worked at a scatological cold stone before.
Ah, yes, of course. The scatological cold stone. So Gatstone.
The Wendigo could be one of two things. It is either an evil spirit that possesses a human,
okay,
or it could be what a human becomes after eating the remains of another human.
Very similar to the Skinwalker stories as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But this is true. Also another Native American legend.
Once you do go cannibal and you start eating and dining on all of your greatest friends and peers, you do begin to go insane.
What region is this mostly located around?
Mostly the Great Lakes region, places where it gets very cold, very fast, and there's a lot of snow because where
and people used
from,
to freeze to death constantly.
It's very much a cautionary tale. This is one of the only ones that we see as far as regional monsters go, because regional monsters aren't really cautionary tales as much as urban legends are. They're just more fun. However, the Wendigo is very much a cautionary tale because apparently there were so many people eating each other in this time in history in this Native American tribe that they had to create a legend to keep people from doing it, because a lot of these people,
like what we did with Jesus Christ.
Exactly like what we did with
Jesus. Or what the Zabrowski house did with the Cocoa Puff monster. And they said, if you eat all the Cocoa Puffs, then the monster comes. And he watches you sleep all night.
Oh, is the Cocoa Puff monster here?
Well, do we have any more Cocoa Puffs? Oh, we do? No, he's not here because we have Cocoa Puffs.
I don't even bring up the Cocoa Puff monster around me.
It said when the Wendigo ate someone, it would grow in proportion to the meal it had just eaten.
Oh,
however, it would never be full. So Wendigos were simultaneously gluttonous and emaciated. They were always hungry, yet always growing.
Like a zombie story as well.
Yes.
It also sounds like a Pomeranian, if I may say so myself.
I don't want any of your dog nanny humor.
A Pomeranian.
In this show.
They just eat and they eat and they eat and they never get full.
And of course, once a person tasted human flesh, they would immediately be consumed with the hunger. They would develop these violent thoughts. There was a reason why this legend was in place.
Yes, it's to keep you from doing it. Don't eat Sadie.
Yeah.
You know, don't eat Becky.
But the meat would be so well preserved. It's freezing cold in these Great Lake communities. I mean, I feel like the temptation.
But even if in stories of other tribes from other areas, you know, the Mayans did a lot of cannibalism. In Africa, there was a lot of cannibalism. There's a lot of places where that happened, and there is diseases associated with eating human meat.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
So before the heroin epidemic of the 70s, the crack epidemic of the 80s, it was the cannibalism epidemic in
the
Native American.
The
1550s.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bit of a stretch.
It's very, very similar.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you get addicted to it after your first bite, after your first smoke or toke, and then you go absolutely insane and you'll do whatever it takes to get it, including murdering your fellow man.
It was said in these cultures, in the Northern Algonquin cultures, that cannibalism, even to save one's life, you absolutely could not do it. And if there was some sort of famine, because famine would come across quite often in these harsh areas, whole tribes would commit suicide rather than eat their fellow man.
Or they would resign
themselves to death.
I would have just, you know, I would have been so bad back in the tribal times. Mm-hmm. They're all talking about, it's like, we must commit suicide in order to keep the honor of our people. And I'm hey guys, how about we just do like a sit brunch? How about you do a brunch?
You want a brunch, huh?
Let's have a sit. We'll do a brunch and we'll check in. You know, like I made these things. I invented this thing. It's called a pig in a blanket is what I'm calling it.
Yeah, that is your shit wrapped in a leaf.
Oh, I'm sorry. I guess if you 5 pounds of shit with 5 pounds of pig in the blanket, all you get is 10 pounds of shit.
You can really do that with anything. You can mix anything with shit, and then it's just shit. I mean, I would actually argue 1 pound of shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even a quarter pound.
Tiny piece of shit.
Yeah. You're ruined.
I don't even want to accidentally eat the tiniest.
No, I know it. It gets all mixed up in there.
Yeah, no.
Starts hiding.
Not a chance for it. You know, I even have a hard time when I'm brushing my teeth after I've taken a big old dump in the bathroom, because I know the shit poo poo flakes is all over my stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, they just stay there, they don't go away.
What?
Yeah.
Well, no, his poo-poo flakes might get up and leave. I don't know.
I play a flute and they follow me down the hallway out to the outside.
The poo-poo king.
I throw them at a homeless man.
That's great.
What I find very interesting about the Wendigo is that it is the only urban legend or the only monster that has actually, the things that people say about it have actually found their way into psychology in what is known as Wendigo psychosis.
Interesting.
A lot of people say they have debunked it, but it is documented many times that people, once they get that taste for human flesh,
mm-hmm.
they don't want to stop. It's all they want.
Well, yeah, so you get keyed into the sort of the primalism of it.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. So our final two here with the melon heads and the wendigos, these are real phenomena. These are actually things that existed.
Well, they're based on something or another. Like the melon head sounds like a combo of an urban legend and what is just seems to be a huge fear of people with disabilities.
Yes,
and this is more like don't eat each other.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. God, I would love to see some melon heads in the Special Olympics just run in there.
Stealing like all the judges' cars and stuff, riding them around the parking lot.
I mean, there must be a great skill. What would be the perfect Olympic skill for a melon head?
Synchronized swimming.
Oh, you can't. That's ideal.
Bobbling at the top of the thing because of their head is the same density as the water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. You can't drown.
They come in groups. Bobsledding.
That was the biggest mistake with the Titanic. Not enough melon heads on there.
That's what you got to do. You got a bunch of melon heads for any ship from here on out. Because you could just tie them to the bows.
And if the
shit's going down, it just keeps it up.
You could do that. And, you know, if everybody dies, you want somebody to tell the tale. And it'll be like a weird, like, melon head tale.
Yeah. But I love these regional monsters. And we were saying we have flagons more.
Oh, yeah. And you know,
flagons.
And you know what else? There is an actual documented case of Wendigo psychosis. So what Wendigo psychosis is actually defined as is eating human flesh when there are other foods readily available.
Oh,
you choose to eat human flesh over other foods.
Yeah.
A man named Swift Runner, a Plains Cree trapper from Alberta, Canada.
He wasn't like Italian from Brooklyn?
He does sound like he's wearing a tracksuit.
Yeah.
In 1878, this guy, Swift Runner, butchered and ate his wife and his five children, although there was a food storage only 25 miles away, which he could
He
could have made it
to. He's a Swift Runner, but he's not a long distance guy.
I guess it's just his version of DiGiorno.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, instead of just making the 25-mile trip, which he could have done, he opted to just kill his wife and children, ate all of them, every single one of them. They did not find him until spring came. They didn't realize his crime. They didn't find out about his crime. And he eventually confessed and was executed by authorities at Fort Saskatchewan.
So it's illegal. Isn't that wild?
Which is so weird, because I feel like if you make your kids, shouldn't it be legal to eat them?
I mean, this is sort of a Bill Cosby joke gone very true.
Yeah.
I think you should be allowed.
I brought you into this world, I can take you out, yeah.
And I'm going to take you out by eating the shit out of you.
I just feel like, if kids to me, it's like I made my own little rump roast.
Yeah.
Anytime I want. They just happen to grow up into people.
Until the age of five.
Do you kill...
After they go to school, you can't eat them anymore.
Okay. You can't eat them, okay.
Because then they have a registry and some sort of book somewhere.
So I guess you kill them all at once? Or do they just like slowly start to realize that like their brother is gone? And like your dad's like super happy and full, but slower, getting like Jack Nicholson from The Shining. Like
that's a problem. The only way I can imagine killing my whole family is to be like, there's a surprise birthday party in the shed for mommy. And they're like, we didn't even know it was mommy's birthday. And it'd be like, everyone go out to the shed. And then I just line the whole shed with dynamite and it's popped it off, you know. But that's, you can't get good food out of that. That's just mayhem.
Well, that just sounds really premeditated. That sounds like that was just not off the cuff. You've thought about that for a little while.
It's the old shit blowing up the shed trick.
Yeah,
that's what I do every time.
Yeah, that's good.
There's so many regional monsters.
So many.
Yeah.
This is so much fun. We could do 9 episodes of these.
Yeah. In the future, we'll get to the Jersey Devil. We'll get to the Dover Demon. There's so many things.
The Dover Demon.
It was the beast of...
The beast of...
Yeah, which is just a giant cat. Giant cats.
It's a real big cat.
There's also flying people, which is a big phenomenon. Like people just fly in the air. You see that a lot in like South America and Africa. There's like a lot of, but that's international, and that's a whole other kettle of monsters.
Yeah, be the Beast of Bladenboro.
Yeah,
Dental Dam. You know,
but it's fun that we did. And so,
scary.
I'd like to give a shout out to Atomic Cotton, who saw me wearing a t-shirt up
there. You make it sound like it's a Atomic Cotton, the company.
Yeah.
Wonderful t-shirt company.
It's awesome. And they saw me wearing a t-shirt of theirs in Best Week Ever.
And what was the t-shirt?
Of the Human Centipede Oeuvre.
Which
I loved. And I just want to say thank you to them. Go buy shirts from them and tell them that you're from us.
Is it just atomiccotton.com?
Atomiccotton.com. It's a mom and pop from Kansas. It's awesome. They make their own shirts and it's good shirts. It stands the tests of me wriggling around in them.
Absolutely. If it's strong enough for Henry Zebrowski, it's strong enough for anybody on the face of the planet. And dare I say, a Wolverine as well? Like any sort of bat creature or winged beast could they probably could do, wear it.
Yeah, they could dress all of those. Yeah.
Interesting fact, in Wolverine's very first appearance, he battled Wendigo.
Whoa! Wow.
That is very great. Nice.
The Incredible Hulk 177.
Oh, wow, nice. You knew that.
Let's stop that. It's good that he knew that.
I think it's 177. I could be wrong. Yeah.
You know how to blow up your family in a shed, and he knows about comic books.
Yeah.
That did remind me of the scene from The Burbs, that great Tom Hanks movie at the end, of course, when the
181.
Sorry. 181. Yeah. You idiot, Marcus! You idiot! You what a moron! Man. No one's going to love you now. But instead of bones coming from the chimney, like the end of The Burbs, the Zabrowski flesh and lard, the fat that would
fuck you
come from the
fuck you,
from the
fuck
chimney
that.
There, you know? You just imagine what that would look like.
I just want to steer clear of that.
We're
Coco
1,000 people massacred in this shed. No, 3 Zabrowskis. Well, there's enough meat around here to fill a small army. All right. Well, we must wrap it up.
Yes, we must.
And we're going to do a two-parter on this at some point.
Oh, absolutely. We're going to do nine of these.
Actually, this is the second one of these that we've done.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, episode 25 was a Regional Monsters episode.
Yeah, we did Mothman.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I don't think. We just branded it Mothman. That's awesome. All right.
No, we actually branded it Regional Monsters.
Regional Monsters.
Well, whatever. Jesus Christ. All right. Any other plugs?
No.
Very good.
No. If you guys didn't know, me and Ben also run a politics podcast called Abe Lincoln's Top Hat. You can find that on Cave Comedy Radio, and we also do the Roundtable of Gentlemen.
Always
check
it out.
Which is also on Cave Comedy Radio. Henry's on that one every once in a while.
That's
and we
right.
found lately that a lot of people who like last podcast fucking love the Roundtable of Gentlemen.
That's right.
And Abe Lincoln's Top Hat. Yeah. If you dig politics, if you got a mind for that.
Yeah, it's got, nice. It dips its toe in politics.
Yeah it's more. Yeah, it's goofiness.
Yeah.
It's all goofiness.
Well, hail Satan to
hail
everyone.
Hail Satan, everybody. Hail yourselves. And I guess we'll just talk to you soon.
Absolutely. Magustalations.
Oh, yeah, Magustalations. Now, we haven't said Magustalations in too long.
I say it every year. Every
week. Yeah. As I always say, Heil Geen.
Hail me!
That's right. And go to atomiccotton.com and get your new shirts.
Yeah. Boy, landed this one in the harbor.
Boy, that chopper shirt is really nice.
Isn't
oh, you want
nice?
One of the shirts?
That chopper shirt.
What's the chopper shirt?
Is really nice.
Oh, yeah, I know the shirt. Henry and Marcus are fighting over
size
t-shirts.
Medium.
It's a good knife.
All right, everyone. Hail yourselves. We'll talk to you soon.